At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Boys and girls, welcome to episode 105 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters.
Hello.
I'd like to know who listening can basically do our intro by heart by now, because I keep it unchanged.
Consistency is really the
just
key
go
here.
I just go, like, red light goes on, it's like boom boom boom,
I am here.
Right, thank you.
Hoffer is physically present.
If you're new to the show, welcome. This is a show obviously all about Pokemon, the good, the bad, the weird, the whatever. If it's got a Pokemon, if it's about Pokemon, we're talking about it, basically. Mm-hmm. We have a good show for you today. We're obviously going to go talk a little bit more about Pokemon Snap. Go through some guides. Got some questions from folks on how to find certain things, and we've got all those answers for you here. Talk a little bit about Pokemon Go today, and then some odds and ends here and there in between. So why don't we just jump right into it?
Yep.
Build-A-Bear is finally getting their first Galar starter Pokemon to add to their collection. Scorbunny is coming to Build-A-Bear, which is fun and exciting. It's a pretty cool looking one.
Yeah, no, I think this one's an obvious one. I have no idea what, like, the timeline is on, like, you know, Jim, you used to, like, skin Build-A-Bears for a living or something dark like that.
Fill the skins.
Okay, yeah. So, you used to, like, wear Build-A-Bear skins. So you probably can answer this better. But, you know, like, I don't understand why they didn't, like, put this out 2 years ago. It feels like such a obvious missed opportunity there. Like, I don't know what the licensing agreements for the Build-A-Bear is, but, you know, like, Scorbunny is clear still very popular. But I mean, for crying out loud, even in the U.S. anime, Scorbunny has come and gone. Basically, he's just showing up in Snap. You know, that's basically it. You know, his time has passed.
Yeah, the times are a little weird on these. I can only imagine, and this is not necessarily, nothing truly inside, but, like, I would imagine this is just kind of like how licensing works, right? Mm-hmm. Some people get, information like new Pokemon and stuff like that under embargo, and I'm sure can start doing product development and testing and all that jazz. But all that stuff inevitably has to get, like, approved and whatnot. And so I would not be surprised if this may be a COVID-related kind of delay, maybe something we would have gotten last year, if anything else. Mm-hmm. But also, too, like, the Pokemon line at Build-A-Bear is much is a lot more robust now than it even was, I would say back when Sword and Shield, started, right? And so you need to get out your perennial favorites, the ones that are going to be hits, and then turn your attention to, it's not like Scorbunny's going anywhere.
No, that's true. We're at least another, I don't know. I think at this point we're at least another full year and a half out until maybe we switch over to the next generation.
Yeah, I mean, they're going with Scorbunny before even looking at some of the other starters, you know, even from other gens, right? Like, just go say like, yeah, no, they definitely want to be as up to date as possible. But it'll be interesting to see if we get, you know, some of the other starters when some of the other games come out, right? Like when the,
well, we already have Piplup. So, you know, I guess
we have Piplup. I forgot about Piplup.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess we
sweet Piplup.
You know, I guess we could get like a Chimchar. Turtwig would be a weird one to do, you know, like outside of Bulbasaur. They've done
those like four-legged. You're right.
I was about to say they've done Eevee and stuff like that. But, you know, Turtwig's, you know, it's a little bit of a different body type than those Eevees. So, you know, that's kind of like why I'm curious. Like, okay, like Grookey's obviously, you know, got to be coming here soon, but will we see a Sobble? Because Sobble's got those like wimpy little limbs that aren't really conducive to, you know, being jammed full of stuffing. So I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
I'd love to see a Rowlett one. Rowlett would be
just
freaking adorable. I mean, I'm waiting for
Galarian Ponyta. That's what I'm waiting for. Galarian Ponyta. Yeah. That would speak. I mean, obviously, it's like looking at the demographic. I mean, obviously, for Build-A-Bear, people like me,
collectors and then kids. For Galarian.
Yeah.
Galarian
so, like, Ponyta. I mean, I want it because of Pokemon, and also Galarian Ponyta is cute. But like little kids coming in who see that glittery iridescent stuff, even if they're not necessarily a fan of Pokemon, like that would be a really great way to kind of be like, oh, this thing's really cute, and then that's like an entry point. So if they're not considering Galarian Ponyta, I would like to formally pitch that to the Build-A-Bear company for licensing. If you haven't done that already, let me just give you that little piece of hint.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that would be a great one. For sure. I'm actually kind of shocked that they haven't figured out a way to do Mew in Build-A-Bear form, because I feel like that's just like,
have they not done a Mew Build-A-Bear?
They have not done Mew.
Man, that is
a missed opportunity,
right?
Yeah. No, they have.
What?
Yeah, I knew. You're God, Jim. No way. Full of it. Yeah.
When did they do that?
2020. I was about to say, like, they absolutely have done Mew.
No.
Yes. Yes. Hang on. I'm going to I'm sending a link in private chat right now.
No, we did. Oh,
be embarrassed.
It is not good at all.
Jim, like, you know, for a self-professed like wearer of Build-A-Bear skins, you know nothing about that company. Like,
I don't know how I missed this one.
I'm really getting uncomfortable with all the discussion of Build-A-Bear skins here, y'all.
It came
with a Master Ball hoodie and everything. Look at
that.
Oh yeah, I remember what you're. Okay, I'm with you. I'm tracking. I understand now. Okay.
I will say in Jim's defense that it came out during the COVID times. So, you know, who knows what
the
came
dark
out
times
then.
Were really, you know,
we're going
they to have to do a re-release. They'll have to do a re-release. Be like, just
market
hey,
it. Just market
I'm
it
sorry.
As if it was new.
I'm trying to find a picture.
They legitimately will have to. It was such a dark. It's been such a dark period of our just collective like cultural history that anything Build-A-Bear has done since COVID pandemic was officially, you know, coined, I have no idea at all. I'm lucky I knew about Scorbunny and the Animal Crossing Build-A-Bears that they did. That's it.
That yeah, the ones that are like, impossible to find, basically the Animal Crossing ones are impossible to get.
And they sell for like $200 secondhand, and I'm like, jeez, man, y'all. Yeah.
That's like Pokemon card money right there. You know?
Oh my gosh.
That's like, you know, like I've bought one pack of Battle Styles Pokemon cards. I'm going to flip it on eBay for $200. You know, it's funny. My one of my neighbors, she turned 8 last weekend. She had a Pokemon themed birthday party. So I have a piece of Ash's head waiting to be eaten. Downstairs for after this podcast.
Of all the things I expected you to say after the idea of a Pokemon birthday party, it was not the fact that you had to eat Ash's head later.
Yep. But I was about to say, poor Misty and Brock were already gone. All that was left was like Togepi and most of Ash. So I ended up with a piece of Ash's head to take home with me.
Well, what great parents. When I had my Pokemon birthday party when I was a young kid, we just had a bunch of Pokeball cupcakes. Those were excellent. If anyone out there is wanting to play in a Pokemon birthday, please hit me up on Twitter. I have a bunch of excellent ideas. Pokemon cupcakes you can never go wrong with.
They also had Pokemon instant tattoos, which is funny because my wife keeps like asking like when I'm going to get a tattoo. She's really into tattoos. And she keeps asking me when I'm going to get a tattoo. And like the running joke has been like, oh, yeah, I'll get a tattoo. It's going to be a Bulbasaur. And, you know, now I can get a Bulbasaur tattoo. I can test it out because I have 8 of them. To try out.
You can test out what locations are best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to be a really, really solid moment. But yeah, hey, Pokemon tattoos, man. I mean, hey, I've seen plenty of them in my lifetime.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're popular. Some of them are way, way too impressive. It's like, you know, like, yeah, check out my Charizard, like, arm sleeve. It's like, okay, that's really freaking cool. Anyways, do we have an image of the?
I shot it over to Rich. Rich, you let me know if we're able to throw it up. We'll give you a second to toss it there so everyone can see Mew. We may need more time if that's the case.
We can move on and talk about our other favorite conversation.
Always
the Pokemon anime.
Pokemon anime, obviously. If you haven't heard, we were right again. Just as our podcast is just consistently correct with our predictions. Basically, Netflix, if you will remember, like a couple months ago, basically said that they were putting out the last batch of episodes of Pokemon Journeys, and everyone panicked because they were like, oh my god, where's the show gonna go next? Is it leaving Netflix, etc.? Well, that's not the case. We were correct. Basically, Netflix is just rebranding the next kind of set of episodes into Pokemon Master Journeys. So those will be kind of the new episodes that Japan has been going through under the same name of Pokemon Journeys. Netflix is just kind of rebranding it into a second half of the series, and it'll kind of be more focused on like the Pokemon Master Journey that Ash has been going on through the league, becoming a champion, et cetera, et cetera. So
I wonder why they episodes. Do that.
Well, one quick clarification. It's the Pokemon Company rebranded the new season. Mm-hmm. Netflix has not said a word about Pokemon Master Journeys. In fact, in the initial like PR and stuff like that, when Pokemon Journeys got announced, they're like, it's coming to Netflix. Like, you know, Netflix, Netflix, Netflix. Nowhere in the new one.
Oh, are you saying it may come back somewhere else?
I doubt it, but, you know... You know, it's just one of those like things. It was really weird, like, you know, because like, you know, Netflix didn't mention anything about it when like Pokemon did their big like marketing blitz on Friday about Pokemon Master Journeys. Like not a word was said on their whatever that Netflix geeked account that they put all their genre marketing into. So, yeah, I couldn't unless like someone said something over the weekend. You know, we have not received confirmation that it's coming to Netflix yet. It's coming to Netflix. Like, let's be clear. Yeah. I do not think that they would, you know, like halfway through the series, they would suddenly like, I don't know. I don't even know who's buying up like content right now. Like, unless like, you know, like, I don't know, Amazon Prime made a hell of an offer or something like that. Because, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're Power Rangers is moving from like Nickelodeon over to Netflix. So like, if Power Rangers is hopping on there, then obviously Pokemon's got to be keeping on. But yeah, just a weird little like side note about that. That was like the weird thing.
Yeah, my biggest thing is I think maybe Netflix isn't trying to compete with some of its other animes that are coming out pretty soon. But I mean, it was kind of strange. I did expect to see something from the Geeked account because
that
was definitely, especially with its recent rebranding, if you're familiar with that page on Twitter, you expected to see something about it. Clearly, I don't expect it to move. I feel like if that was going to be a situation, that probably would have been announced with this big kind of rebranding blitz from the Pokemon Company. But yeah, basically kind of we're just kind of like standing still waiting for more information to come through. But over in Japan, I mean, in the chats for Twitch right now for the podcast, everyone's talking about the latest episode in Japan. Obviously, kind of soft spoiler alert. We won't go into anything too intense right now, but this was the week that Iris showed back up in the anime, did confirm that she is the new Unova champion. So she is definitely kind of still her fun, sprite little self. She had an excellent battle with Ash. I won't say necessarily who wins, but you can probably figure it out. you can probably just guess. But it was actually such a really good episode. Like the animation, the battle, the fighting, all the nice little Unova throwbacks. Obviously, it was so nice to see Dragonite kind of come back from the Unova region. I haven't seen Iris's little buddy in a while, but it was a really great episode. It's definitely set up a nice little nostalgia tip coming forward for the return of Gary and the kind of new Search for Mew arc that's coming forward. So I'm excited.
Is Iris's Dragonite still a putz? Because that was like it was like the first like jerkball Dragonite we had ever like seen. That was like that Dragonite's like big story arc was that, mm-hmm. you know, Iris's Dragonite was a big jerk, and how is Iris going to handle that? So is it still a jerk, or has it mellowed out?
Definitely kind of seems like a little tsundere. Like he's a little bit like kind of like cold on the outside, but just like a big, you know, lovable meathead on the inside. Definitely still kind of a competitive spirit, and especially so once Dragonite learns that Ash has his own Dragonite, he gets real fired up. But definitely doesn't seem as like intentionally malicious anymore. Iris seems to have definitely gotten a nice little handle together with her Pokemon. So definitely a great episode. It was really nice to see. I'm excited to see it in English, just to kind of see that reaction and the interaction between the two, because Ash is like geeking out the entire time. He's like, oh my God. And it's like funny because that's how audiences felt. So yeah, it was a really great episode. I'm excited to see where Pokemon Master Journeys takes this moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, with that, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in 60 seconds to talk about the Pokemon Go community date we have all been waiting for and more Pokemon Snap tips and tricks for you. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull and Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. Okay, for everyone watching Twitch live right now, we're going to pull up that Mew shot. Richard's got it ready. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Look at that
not
thing.
That cute. That's not that Man. Cute.
The portion this seems a little off. Tail's definitely too short.
Yeah.
Got some weird things happening.
So, you know, we'll talk more about Mew's general body shape and the choices that were, you know, made there later in the show. A preview of sorts for maybe a Pokefact. Hint
for the Pokemon fact of the week. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways,
So that was Mew. It was a little weird. I also, too, like, when did they really start leaning into, I mean, I guess it's been for a while now, but I feel like they've really started leaning into pink Mew. I always felt like Mew was always a bit more white or a very, very light pink. And like recently you see him a lot and where like he has just gotten pinker and pinker.
I mean, to me, it always seemed more like it was like a pinkish lilac because like Mewtwo is obviously quite purple. That's how I always visioned it, especially with the anime. And now recently it's just like, no, pink Mew. Mew must be pink.
Mew has always been pink. So I'm taking a look at the, sprites now. Basically post Gen 1, You know, like Gen 2 Mew, you know, used like, you know, pink, like kind of like shading. Ruby and Sapphire was the first one that really was like, no, Mew has pink skin. So, you know, for Gen 2, you know, on the Game Boy Color, it was a little bit more ambiguous. But it's always been, you know, the basically since Gen 3, it's been pink.
Well, pink, yeah, pink, I mean, pink, pink. For, I mean, but, okay, yes, but I mean more in like outside of the games. Because the early games, you're only, you know, permitted X amount of colors or whatever. But like in the movies, he's not that pink.
Yeah, no, like in the original movie and in Pokemon, in the first Pokemon Snap, he is very much like he's got that white shading. Even in like, you know, I'm taking a look at some like the stuff, you know, some like the spinoff games and stuff, like, you know, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, he's still got that whitish look to him. Let's see. I'm trying to like find other stuff. He's pinkish in PokePark. Pokemon Rumble, he's, you know, more whitish. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, he's pink. Pokemon Pinball, he's pink. So, you know, it's a mix. It really is.
I'm going to say this because I know he's probably not watching live, but is listening. Ace Trainer just invited me to a Xerneas raid. Can't do it right now, man.
Yeah, no, can't do it right now.
Can't do it right now, but it might be later. Anyway, let's speaking of Pokemon Go, let's talk about the Gible Community Day.
Yes, Gible is coming. They have heard your pleas after 2 years of ignoring you. Gible shall come. I believe the date is June 6th, if I remember. It's like, it's really early in the month. Yeah, I think it is June 6th. So yeah, we know nothing else, just that Gible is coming. Thank God he's here at last. You know,
okay, but whenever they do community days like this that, you know, have a Pokemon that obviously people want, but like this could fundamentally change, you know, kind of the way people play competitively, right? Like it's just one of those things where not a ton of people either have you're gonna say, like, I know a ton of people have, but like the right one, the best one for a competition, this is an opportunity for them to get that, and by doing so, it, you know, you put more out into the pool, and so it's just it'll be interesting to see how that effect transfers over.
So Garchomp is, it, you know, if I recall correctly, and you know, I mainly screw around in Great League, so you know, which Garchomp is not a really viable Pokemon in there. I believe he's a good Pokemon in Master League. I mean, the thing is, you know, he's good in, you know, battles, and you know, he's good in gym battles, he's good in raids. Yeah, I thought he was in, you know, good in you know, Masters. So, you know, he's, depending on the move, maybe he'll be a little bit more viable. You know, in competitive, I mean, the big thing is so, you know, the story of the Gible Community Day dates back to 2019. Like, you know, Gible is, I mean, it's, I'm serious. Like, Gible is a pseudo legendary line. You know, Garchomp is one of the pseudo legendary Pokemon. It used to be that those Pokemon were, you know, that those Pokemon were all but guaranteed to eventually get a community day. You know, Dratini got one, Larvitar got one. And then, you know, in 2019, they started kind of like pulling back because, you know, Gible and Dino and Pokemon like that are, you know, they wanted to make them more rare. And, you know, so in 2019, they added Shiny Gible. Gible is still a hard to get Pokemon. You know, your best chance of finding Gible is usually through eggs. If you're very lucky, you can find it in the wild. You know, getting a Shiny Gible is even harder to find. And people were pretty annoyed about that. Like, you know, that's the thing. It's like that Shiny, you know. It was kind of just assumed that we would eventually get access to this Pokemon via Community Day, and they held out for a super long time. And so, You know, some people are annoyed at this point because, you know, they worked really hard to get that shiny Gible and now it's going out to everybody. But, you know, quite frankly, as someone who, you know, I have a shiny Garchomp in like, you know, Pokemon Home. Like, I've had that since Pokemon X and Y, I think. Like, you know, so I've been running around, you know, like I worked hard for that shiny Garchomp. And I'm A-okay with this. Like, you know, like, you know, like, yeah, I think like some of the people who get really mad when a shiny gets made widely available through community days, you know, I think that's really like overblown, to be 100% honest. There are like hundreds of shiny Pokemon in this game. You know, not all of them is going to, you know, not all of them have to be super rare. So I'm glad, like, you know, like I have a Garchomp in Pokemon Go. It took me four freaking ever. Like, you know, I finally got a Gible through an egg. I had to go and get a bunch of, you know, walk a ton to get the candies needed to evolve them. And it's just, yeah. So like, I'm glad they're doing it. It took a year too long.
It's just weird because Garchomp is just like one of those shinies that is only slightly different from its normal.
Now,
like,
check out Mega Garchomp. Check out Mega Garchomp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nope. There is a difference.
Yeah. That's the that is where you get to be the cool ones. It's kind of like Mega. It's kind of like Mega. It's kind of like Gengar. Like shiny Gengar looks almost identical. Well,
almost nothing. Yeah.
But then you see like Mega Gengar and it's like white instead of that dark purple. Yeah. You know, so like I said, I'm very glad that they're doing this. This is a community day that the fans have wanted. I do think that Pokemon Go is trying to do better with their community days. The 2020 community days were trash. That's yes. Just 100% honest. They were,
I
mean, not
I did get my Charizard, so I'll take that.
Yeah, like 5 years after everyone else. You know, like it was not so they seem to be actively doing better, like either finding Pokemon that players actually want. Yeah. Swablu is one. Like, I know like a lot of people are kind of like Swablu, but you know, if you're still doing that shiny Mew quest, or if it's you me. You know, that you'll make some progress, although it's not a dragon, it's just normal flying in its base form. So never mind on that. But you know, if you know, Altaria is a good Pokemon to have. You know, and yeah, and now Gible is something that players have wanted for a long time. You know, not all of them are hits, but I think the last few months have been better than previously. Like, you know, I Fletchling was a good one. You know, I think that community days moving forward need to be either new shinies, rare Pokemon, starter Pokemon, or, you know, competitively viable Pokemon. So,
For sure. I dig it. All right, let's talk about Pokemon Snap.
Yeah,
our continued coverage of Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Today, we'll probably talk a bit more about the Foundja Jungle and elsewhere forests. And just kind of see where it goes from there. Each of them obviously have their perks and their little secrets or whatever. Christian, which one do you think is the hardest thing to find?
The secret third route. The secret third route in Foundja Jungle. That one
still don't have it.
It's a hard one to get. Is the thing is like it's you know, only at night. You basically have to hassle specific Liepard, and then a Liepard attacks you. And I'm still not 100% sure what the point of it is. Like, you get a couple of good angles on some Pokemon, but like, yeah, it's a weird. I love it. Like, it took me forever to figure out how to consistently do it because it would happen at random for me. Like, I was trying to figure out how to find Mew. And I accidentally unlocked it. And then for like a week, I could not figure out like how to get it like again. And so I'm like just chucking everything at everyone. And then I finally figured it out. So the secret route. So there's two pretty hard to get routes, both of which involve Liepard. The secret, the third route that I'm talking about is the ruins route. So basically, as you go down the main jungle path, so you don't branch off into the jungle or into the swamp, you stick to the main route. You can only access this at night. Eventually, you'll come across some like sleeping Liepard. And there will be a Liepard that is up on up on like the rocks, like kind of like on a cliff. And you have to hit it with a Illumina orb. So that's step one. And you'll know that you got the right one because it stays glowing. Then when you get to the big tree, you'll see a Liepard at the top. And you'll have to hit it with at least two aluminum orbs. And then that Liepard will jump down, attack your pod, and knock you to the river below. And then you'll kind of get an alternate view. So it's a good way that if you're doing the trying to get the Lady in four-star pose, it's a really good way of doing that. There are some Pokemon down there, like you can get an up-close look at Sobble. So that's a really... You know, it's tricky. Like a lot of people did not find it for like several days. Like, you know, like none of the, it was crack me up. Like, none of the guides, like when the game came out, none of the guides had any mention of it on there. So like, it was genuinely hard to find.
Just listening to you explain it has me like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to figure out that route for a while, and like my issue is my aim is so bad with the first Liepard in that discussion. Like, I can get the one on the tree super easily. I mean, you're like right there with him, but the other one, I'm just not great at it.
Yeah, no, it's a tricky one to get. Like I said, the big thing was for a while you didn't know how to like trigger it. Because because you know, there are a few routes that you have to unlock every time, that you have to like basically keep doing over and over again. Like some will automatically unlock and then they stay unlocked. But some like that, like the ruins route and the waterfowl route is the other one. The waterfowl route ticks me off that you have to do it every time. but you know, some of those you just have to do over and over and over again. And you know, it kind of sucks because like once you've unlocked it, like I feel like you shouldn't have to like continually re-unlock it. Like sometimes like I just want to get behind the waterfall because I want to go and make Sobble cry.
Of course you would.
That's what you have to do. In order to get the 4-star photo of Sobble, you have to make it and Leafeon cry.
Because that's why I don't have a 4-star photo of them, because I refuse.
I just can't bring myself to do it.
I literally can't.
A monster. A freaking monster.
I'm so sad. I can't. I won't. I'm fine.
I will say, every time I see Venusaur in a game, like in a kind of wild setting, it's always really cool.
He just looks
like majestic is the wrong word, but like,
no, it does.
He but it's also majestic. The right word.
Just big and beautiful. And like, yeah. I just love it.
What I appreciate the most about Venusaur in new Pokemon Snap, especially, is I feel he has a lot more interactions and like he shows a lot more like range than like Charizard or Blastoise in this game. Like all Blastoise does is he's at the bottom of the whirlpool. Like he, you know, does some Superman stuff, which is cool. But like, you know, unless you chuck a Squirtle down into the bottom of that whirlpool, he doesn't do anything with other Pokemon. And Charizard just does like Charizard stuff in this game. Like Charizard's like, I'm not really a dragon, but I'm pretending to be one. Look at me, Tyrantrum. And Tyrantrum's like, screw off, bud. I'm trying to sleep down here. And then, you know, he also goes and like bothers some Typhlosion. Like he's just a nuisance. Like a giant angry orange lizard pigeon or something like that. And you know, but Venusaur, like, you know, butterflies are eating out of Venusaur's flower. Like Venusaur and Arbok get into a stare down. He gets watered by some, you know, Sobble. Like there's a lot of stuff that you can do with Venusaur. Like he's got like four or five interactions. Well, you know, he is truly the starter Pokemon that cares. Which is like, you know, like we're jumping ahead here, I guess. But you know, it's kind of like you see that kind of in The one thing that I took away from new Pokemon Snap is of the three Kanto starters, I'm pretty sure Squirtle's a sociopath. There are so many Squirtles that just do not react to anything that you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, like the Charmanders, you know, very expressive. They're doing all sorts of kooky stuff in the volcano. Like the Bulbasaur is living its best life in like a time displaced forest. And then you have Squirtle that just stares at you and you're like chucking fruit at its head and just stares at you, slowly blowing out bubbles. It's like this. I think this Squirtle is going to show up at my like little camp at night and kill me.
Yeah.
And like wear my face. Like
I kept thinking like I was just doing stuff wrong with the Squirtles. Like I've spent so much time and eventually I just started looking it up and I was like, oh, none of the stuff that I thought would happen by me provoking them is going to happen ever. They're just going to stand there and like
stare,
narrow their eyes at me and spit bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's it.
There's a Squirtle that shows up in the undersea, the underwater section. And it just stares there. Like, it's like, it pops up. It's like, you can't get to it till stage three. And all it does is look at you, man. It's creepy as hell. Like, it's a weird freaking Pokemon. Like I said, Squirtles, they're messed up, man. Messed up. I'm going to point to new Pokemon Snaps like sociopath. You know, sociopath and Squirtle. It's an alliteration.
I love it. Anyways. Let's talk. Well, we're talking about the jungle. Let's talk about Mew.
Okay. Yeah.
What tips you have for listeners there?
I mean, I can tell you how to unlock Mew. It's deceptively easy. If you don't, it took me four effing ever to figure this one out. Like Mew was the last Pokemon that I found in new Pokemon Snap. I managed to figure out where all the other Pokemon were like during like the 2 weeks that I had this game. Before its release. And I found, before the game physically came out that Friday, I found 213 out of 214 of them. So I even knew where Mew was because I just looked in the Photodex and like he's number 60. That's the last jungle entry, you know. So I knew it was in the jungle. Mm-hmm. Screwed around. Like I said, you know, unlocked the third alternate route, you know, checking things left and right, playing melodies at the ruins, like, could not figure it out. All you have to do at the very beginning of the stupid course, you turn around and you play the damn melody to the two Morlul that are, you know, standing at the back entrance. And suddenly Mew just shows up. He's like, hey, what's up, buddy? You looking for me? And then I was just like, I'm going to throw so many freaking apples at you, man.
Looking backwards is one of the like most underrated like tips or tricks for this game.
Yeah, you have to look backwards.
It's so counterintuitive.
That is the number one thing. Like on Twitter, when people have asked me, like, how's Pokemon Snap going? Or like when I've been playing with my friends or like my friends who have the game, they'll text me and they'll be like, hey, what do I do? And I'm like, have you turned around? And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, have you literally turned around and gone through the route backwards and done try to make interactions happen? And they're like, what? And then like 30 minutes later I get a text and they're like, oh my god, I found so many new things. And I'm like, I know, it's so counterintuitive. Like you don't expect to have to do it, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
Such a smart thing on the part of the developers. I mean, again, it's just such a simple thing, but it's just not what you think of. Like when you're doing just like a rail, like a rail track kind of game. Ugh, so smart.
Can we talk for a second about how like scary Trevenant is in the Elsewhere Forest?
Really? I mean, I thought he was perfectly pleasant. You played a melody, it cheers up right away. It looks after the Esper, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a haunted tree trying to take care of other Pokemon in this creepy foggy forest. Just doing his thing.
It's such an like. It's always had. I mean, like the design by nature is fairly imposing, but like you come across that thing and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like it's just.
But it cracks me up because, you know, it's like, look, here is a walking undead tree in the fog coming for you and your soul. And like, actually, it's just trying to babysit these like you know, freaky Esper, you know, who don't blink, never sleep, are, you know, telekinetically moving boulders with their mind. And it's like, okay, guys, don't do anything stupid now. It just, you know, all the interactions just crack me up, where it's like you play a Trevenant Melody and suddenly start smiling at you. just great, great stuff. Like, Trevenant is like one of the Pokemon. Trevenant, I have loved Trevenant since like the very beginning. Like,
I wish it was like a stronger, better Pokemon.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it's a grass type, so
right. Exactly.
back before they tried to make the different types a little bit more balanced. So, like, yeah, let's give grass types like 5 weaknesses. Trevenant's great. Like, just a spirit of a dead kid haunting you via a dead tree for all time. Just,
I know, but it's also, there's so many of the Trevenant in that route. I'm like, how many dead kids died in that?
It's like the meteor, you know,
like
the,
it's not like, it's such a dark thought. Like, when you think about it, it's like a lot of kids died in that forest. Like,
it's like it,
but they're so happy when you play the music, and it's just really upsetting when you like think about it for a second.
Oh, it's great.
I mainly just like boost past them because I have all of the, I have 1 through 4 stars for the Trevenant, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't do anything for you. It just creeps me out knowing the history behind it.
All right, but the forest does give us Celebi.
Yes.
Yes, true.
Yeah, the Celebi, the game, the 4-star Celebi, you know, for one thing, it is, we know that there are multiple mythical Pokemon out there. It is very weird to see like 4 Celebi like running around. Yes. You know, like at that really like weirds me out. Just like, you know, like I know they exist. Like, there's multiple Mewtwo's, which makes no sense at all. Like, you know, because, you know, literally that thing's a, you know, a freaking clone. So unless someone is cloning Mewtwo's, you know, has like a clone factory somewhere, there should not be more than one Mewtwo, but there is, and we know that. So it's a little bit weird, but also it's a pain in the ass to go get all the steps to make that 4-star Celebi happen. Cause you have to like go, and I think you have to,
I still haven't gotten it, so I'm paying very close attention right now.
Let me make sure. Cause I always forget if you have to hit a, give me one moment. Cause I want to make sure I'm actually getting it right.
I don't get it. I'm coming straight for you, Christian.
I don't think I do have the 4-star for Celebi. Okay, so basically you need to hit it. You need to hit Celebi with an Illumina orb first, then you have to underneath, when you go under the tree. So the first thing is, when you first show up and Celebi's like racing around, you have to hit it with an Illumina orb. Then when you're under the tree, you have to feed it a Fluffroot. Okay. After that, if you successfully feed it a Fluffroot and it's like over by where the Applin is like hanging out at, you'll have an opportunity to feed Celebi. And then Celebi will appear on these like ruins as you're like making your way towards the exit. He'll pop up on, I say he, even though it's a genderless Pokemon. Celebi will pop up on some ruins to the left. Then you need to go and throw another aluminum ore at the Crystabloom flower, and that will make more Celebi appear. And then, you need to play, you know, a melody and get them all to dance together. And that's how you get the 4-star. So it's a there's 4 steps to it. It's one of the more complicated, you know, 4-star things. But yeah, so that's the entire process. It took me forever because I could get Celebi all the way to the point where I could get him on the ruins. But then when I'd hit him with the Crystal Bloom, for some reason, it wouldn't always trigger, or I'd hit the Crystal Bloom too late. So it would trigger before, you know, the Celebi would not show up in time for me to do the final step.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The timing of it, like the hit, like I say the hit windows, but like the timing windows for these things, it feels like I'm always doing like one of those like Final Fantasy, like press the button before time runs out. And it's like, I don't know how much time I have to do this. I need like a countdown. I need like easy mode. Like when you bowl and you have the rails up or something. Like sometimes I feel like I very much am on that level with this game, which is, you know, great. It's better than the other one because I recently replayed Snap 64. After playing, you know, new Pokemon Snap, like, oh my God, I've put so many hours into that game already. And I was like, oh man.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it holds up obviously, but it's, you know, it's not new Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. New. That's the thing. Like the Elsweyr Forest, to be honest, Elsweyr Forest is probably my least favorite of the routes. Just because like I know that once you unlock all four seasons, there are different ways that you can guarantee getting to them. But like, you know, I didn't like the randomness with spring and fall, like because until you actually show up and do spring, you can't like guarantee that you'll go to spring. It's still randomized. And that ticked me off something awful trying to like I had like the rottenest luck. Getting to spring in Elsweyr Forest. It was actually the last route I unlocked. So despite the fact that, you know, the forest has my Bulbasaur, you know, I still do not like that route very much at all. Like,
yeah, it's definitely my least favorite route of them all. It's, I don't know, it's, I mean, it's supposed to kind of be like a little bit like disorienting because this is obviously a forest and time periods. I mean, it's supposed to do that. I just feel like the transitions could have been a little bit cooler, I guess. Maybe not so disorienting, I guess. So it's definitely probably my least favorite. Maybe I just haven't spent enough time there. But I've put quite a few hours into this game already. So I'm going to say, I mean, like, I just was at the beach and my fiance was like chastising me because he was like, you were literally at the beach. There are animals in front of you. There are literally manta rays in the ocean. Stop playing Pokemon Snap. Look up. And I was like, fine. That was me.
Christian, why don't you give us the Pokemon fact of the week?
All right, well, we have some a good one this week. So the funny thing is, so we're on Mew. A few interesting facts about Mew. The first one is there's always a lot of questions about like when Mew showed up in the timeline of the development of Pokemon. Mew actually was designed, like the actual design of Mew. Mew came after Mewtwo. While Mewtwo literally is a deformed clone of Mew, they did not design Mew until after Mewtwo had been designed and put into the game. The reason why Mew looks like the way it is, the decision to make Mew like a small, like diminutive Pokemon as opposed to like a big Pokemon, like, you know, Mewtwo, was specifically to help save on physical space on the cartridge. Like, you know, they didn't want it to take up very much space in the cartridge memory. They had limited space, like memory. And so they made Mew a small Pokemon so that his pixels would take up less space.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously Mew is the kind of like the rumor is that parts of every Pokemon to exist, exists like, you know, in Mew's DNA and, that's kind of weird. And that's kind of reflected, you know, which makes no sense from like a technical level, you know, like, oh yeah, all DNA exists inside Mew. Like, no, that's creepy. But one of the things that, you know, is kind of like, you know, Mew's design is very, it's meant to look like an embryo. Like, I don't think that people talk about that very much. But yeah, that's why it kind of like floats around. It's got the little, like little stubby arms, you know, even its tail, you know, kind of looks like an umbilical cord, kind of like, you know, going off to the side and curving up and around. So yeah, just something for you to think about. Like, that's not exactly like a secret or anything like that, but you know, yeah, like I don't think people talk about that.
It's so one of the things is actually is really, really interesting that, like, for the most part, you look at all the Pokedex entries for Mew, they all are kind of the same, with like two glaring exceptions. Yellow. So it happens a long while back where it goes, when viewed through a microscope, this Pokemon's short, fine, delicate hair can be seen. It's like, okay, that's a little weird, right?
Well, like, just wanted to make it clear that it's not some, like, you know, hairless freak, I guess.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's so Mew confirmed has fur. It is not like one of those skinless, furless cats. It is, it has fur, but like, it doesn't come back up again until Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah.
Like, it happens in yellow and then everyone just forgets about it, for years. Until Let's Go Pikachu Eevee, when that's the one that they decide to put in.
Yeah. That's, yeah, it's, that one always cracked me up. It's like it exists. You know, all DNA exists inside this Pokemon. That's right. Why it can use any Mew. By the way, did you know it has fur? Right. Like, surprise, guys. Yeah, no, I mean, the Mew, the lore around Mew always cracks me up. One of my favorite bits about Mew isn't even in, like, the main games or the anime. It's in the manga. So the island that Mew lives on, dirt from that island, because it supposedly possesses Mew DNA. And it's like, what has Mew been doing on this island for, like, it just to be DNAs and it's dirt? But they actually, there's a plot point where they're like, yeah, we've got this dirt from Mew Island. Let's use it. And like, that calms Pokemon down, like, you know, because some link between Mew's DNA. It's like a really bizarre, like, manga plot points, like, oh, we've got dirt from Mew Island, let's use it to chill these Pokemon out. And it's like, question one, I don't think that's how dirt or DNA works. And two, what has Mew been doing on this island? Why is Mew's DNA around everywhere? Like,
I mean, we know it's shedding. He's shedding.
Yeah, it's shedding its very delicate,
his delicate fine hairs. It just blends in with the dirt. I mean, there's nothing weird about that. It's just like dust, Mew dust, basically.
Oh, man.
That is
Mew skin flakes.
Basically, gross. I have no idea.
Mew dander.
Yeah, literally. That's it right there. Yeah. I'm curious to see what the anime does with Mew now coming into this new arc for Pokemon Journeys. Hopefully they give us some weird stuff. But hey, maybe the Mew dirt thing will come up.
I am willing to bet that how this will end is Go learns the lesson that, you know, like, he will have an opportunity to catch Mew and he will not catch Mew. Yes. He will choose, like, you know, learn some lesson about, you know, I don't know, like, maybe I should take care of the 700 Pokemon I already have.
No, that would be a pretty nice start of, like, responsibility for Go. I feel like that would be great. And we know ultimately Go's going to end up being like a Pokemon professor or something. That's what happens to, like, most of Ash's friends and companions. They're like, I can't compete with you. I'm going to become a professor and <He's gonna> focus specifically on Mew or something. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap this show up. But before we do, I do want to read some new listener reviews that we've got. So if you are a big fan of the show and want to help support the show, feel free to head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll read them on the air. Today's is from T-Fantasy. She says, love it. I just found this podcast and I've loved every second of it. The fun banter between the amazing hosts has made me laugh constantly. I look forward to hearing all the older episodes and we'll be keeping up with the new ones. So thank you, T-Fantasy. And then the other one we have is from Lil Kobe 320. Great podcast. I've been listening to this show since GoFest 2020. I moved back to Houston and I had nothing to do and found these guys and they are awesome. When you need info on Pokemon, this is where to get it. I love the energy they all give. Just don't speak if Pokemon Snap is worth $60. You might upset someone. Other than that, it's a great cast. And I can really relate to them all.
Speaking of that, it's really funny because, like, I had, like, three or four people, like, come up to me and, like, made a comment, like, you know, like, literally, like, people that I had no idea ever actually listened to this. And they're like, And they're like, man, Jim's full of it with that $60 Pokemon Snap thing. I was cracking up.
Yeah,
that's what gets you to go and say that you actually listen to my podcast is Jim making up like nonsense about Pokemon Snap. Like, apparently that's the line.
Yeah, I got a couple DMs of people being like, just buy a Pokemon Snap. Definitely worth $60. It's like, yeah.
See?
It is. I've put so many hours into that freaking game.
I will say, you know, a peek behind the curtain. A lot of my like bluster is usually a little bit exaggerated for the podcast, but the $60 thing actually had me heated. I was fuming for the rest of the episode.
You were hot.
I was ticked. It's like, how effing dare you?
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. If you want to continue the show past when you listen to it each week, every Monday, you can find us on Twitter at Pokemon Pod CB is the show handle. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peter CB.
And I'm at C Hoffer C Bus.
Until then, folks, you keep on taking those pictures. Let us see them and we'll catch you next week.